Hi guys, and welcome back to the Worst Sister Shower podcast. We're the Worst Sisters. I'm Sadie.
I'm Suna.
And I'm Arsum.
And this week we're coming back with another episode of Whisperia Lane. With this week we're covering episode 22 of season 1, which is called Goodbye For Now. And in this episode we see a variety of things happening to the housewives. So Mike asks Susan to move in with her. Lynette is trying to get creative in getting rid of the tension with Annabelle and Tom. Gabby finds out that Carlos has messed with her birth control. And Bree is dealing with Rex and his heart attack.
Cool. Who do we want to start with?
Do we want to start with Lynette? There's not much going on for her.
Yeah. Cool. So we start off Lynette's storyline with her going to visit Tom at work. Apparently she's been doing that a lot, it seems. And Tom says it needs to stop. But where was this attitude a few episodes ago when she told him explicitly that, like, if you don't get Annabelle to move or do something about Annabelle, I'm going to come in every day. And he was like, I'll get your parking spot.
No.
Well, she comes in with a cake for Dugan.
Yeah. So she wanted to do something nice for Dugan because he's coming back off of his medical leave after having a heart attack on the softball field.
Yeah, it was so. But someone, I think it was Annabelle, that makes a comment about him coming off a heart attack and her giving him like a heart attack on a plate because she brought in a sheet cake.
Yeah, but Lynette makes a point of saying that no, it was actually fruit sweetened and like low fat or something.
Didn't look like it.
And Lynette's not at all subtle. She's like, "Can I cut you?
I know
a slice."
Yeah.
Like, Lynette, okay, way to show your real feelings. Okay, but, like, Annabelle starts being a bit of a bitch back as well, because obviously she can tell Lynette's a bit, like, insecure about this and worried and stuff. So later on, when it's announced that Tim Dugan isn't going to be coming back for a little bit, he needs a bit more time, and that Annabelle needs to take on this work in Hawaii and blah, 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 she leaves in 3 days, she's like, I'll take Tom.
But, like, what sort of boss just says, pick whoever you want? This isn't school. We're not going to teams.
And there's no, like, privacy or, like, private conversations or anything at this firm. They, like, just speak out everything in public. Like, oh yeah, you're going to Hawaii now. Like, don't you pull people into your office, have a chat with them about what's expected, what their next assignment is going to be, like,
or if they're comfortable going to Hawaii or something.
Yeah, like, what the hell is this?
Primary school, when your teacher's telling you to pick teams.
And she picked Tom.
Did this happen before or after her promotion?
This is before.
So after this, Lynette decides this enough is enough. Like, I need to get them apart. I'm going to catch up with an old work friend and try and get them to hire Tom. They basically say, Tom is not you. We need someone who's good, not Tom.
Yeah.
And Lynette says, well, I've got someone who's good for you. And then she tells him about Annabelle. I want to point out here that the person she met with was like, do you want to come back to work? Because if so, just say the word.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like she needs to stop trying to make Tom happy. Because he's definitely not worried about making her happy.
Exactly.
If she wants to go back to work, she should just go back to work. With the income she makes, she can get a freaking nanny for the kids.
Yeah, they can go into childcare. Like,
I don't understand what this dilemma is about Lynette wants to work and Tom doesn't want her to. Like,
I fully agree.
Okay, you don't want me to work, but I don't want you to work with your ex-partner. So here we are.
Yeah.
Exactly. You don't respect me. Why should I respect your wishes?
Yeah.
And they were able to get a nanny while Lynette was at home anyway. So, like, with the income that she's going to be bringing in, they could more than definitely afford it.
Yeah, it'll be no problem at all. And we know that she was earning more than him before she quit her job anyway. Maybe he's gotten a pay rise since then, but she was earning more than him before.
Exactly.
And by the looks of it, she was so good at her job that, you know, after 5 years of not being in the field, they're willing to take her back just like
right away, as an executive as well, because it was an executive position.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she can't pitch Tom, so she pitches Annabelle. And the next thing we see is Annabelle going up to Tom saying, oh, I got an offer from this firm, I can't remember what it was called, and I told our boss, and he actually offered me vice president of the company. Isn't that so exciting?
Yeah, and also she couldn't refuse.
Yeah, but flashback to a few episodes ago where Tom was offered that job initially and Lynette basically cried sad to the boss's wife.
Yeah.
And that's why the boss ended up telling Tom, I'm going to hold this position for Dugan. And then he gave it back to Annabelle. He's not holding it anymore. So Tom is pissed. Tom just like goes back into the office and basically says, you always make shitty decisions anyway. Why should this have been any different? I quit. And the boss exposes Lynette and says, Lynette begged my wife and said, if you were to go get this promotion, you would be home less and less and your family would suffer for it. So who's stupid now? Clean out your desk.
Yeah.
I don't think Lynette knows, but she has spun herself quite a web.
Mm-hmm. And that's all we see from that timeline, though. Yeah. So we don't see them having a confrontation about this afterwards, but you know they're going to.
Yeah, you know they're going to, absolutely. But yeah, so I think that's literally all for Lynette as well. Has anything else happened?
No, that's all I have.
No.
The Gabstar.
Gabstar. So we start this episode off with Gabby having a chat to Justin, her free mower, free gardener.
I wonder if they're still not paying him because, like, why?
That's what I was going to say, exactly. Because we know that he only wanted to be a free gardener because he wanted to have sex with Gabby.
Yeah.
And now that he has accepted that he's gay because Gabby kissed him and told him.
Yeah.
I wonder if they pay him now, but they haven't. No money.
Well, I'm assuming they do because at some point Carlos says to John, oh, you should come back and work for us. You're practically part of the family.
Yeah, for free. Family works for free.
I'm assuming he's offering him a paid job.
No.
Come mow my lawn. I love you.
Yeah, exactly. Family works for free. So like the other day, Sana was chopping a vegetable and she was like, come over and chop my vegetables for me. I love you. Same thing. Yeah, you weren't going to pay me for that.
Literally. Exactly.
But yeah, so Justin ends up saying that, like, you're a shitty person. That baby could be John's. And how dare you say he's not worthy, basically. So Gabby slaps him and walks back inside. Carlos sees this.
How does John even know all of this? Justin even know all of this?
Because he's John's roommate.
Oh, John told him. Okay.
Yeah.
Who else was going to tell him?
I don't know.
And then, to cover her tracks, she goes to Carlos. You would have slapped him too if you saw what he'd done to the petunias.
Begonias, actually.
Begonias, sorry.
But, like, literally how... So Carlos starts suspecting that she's got something going on with Justin because of this, which is, like, a fair enough assumption, I guess. But yeah. Also, why does he only pick up on these dumb clues?
Yeah, I know. What about when John was literally standing in your windowsill with no pants on?
Yeah, but he didn't look at his pants, did he?
Alternatively, why don't you just walk out to John and be like, to Justin and be like, I just saw what happened. What's going on here?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why is that the next logical step? Or calling your wife on it and being like, no, it doesn't make sense that you would slap someone for flowers.
Yeah, well, if you're as high maintenance as Gabby, maybe it does.
This is Wisteria Lane. Why are you looking for logic?
I just do.
But the next thing is Gabby's coming in with the mail and basically she gets a letter from the insurance company saying your husband did this.
Yeah.
Which is basically exactly what it says because apparently when you try and buy birth control by the kilo, they send you a letter saying we can't do that with a dated like stamp.
Yeah. No, I think what it probably was that she already claimed whatever it was in the first batch that she ordered because he ordered a second batch.
Yeah.
Probably something like that. And when she confronts Carlos, she's just very calmly like at the door. He's like, where are you going? And she's like, oh, I'm leaving you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I found this out and you blamed your mother. At least own up to it because she would have been man enough to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair call, fair call, fair call.
And then she hits him with it might not even be yours and runs off.
Well, not even quite. My favorite Gabby line in this was when he's like, Gabby, I'm going to prison tomorrow. She's like, I know. That's why I only packed one bag. I'm coming back. So good. But yeah, Carlos is immediately like, Gabby, like Gabrielle, like what about our baby, my baby? You know, we're a family now because of my baby. And that's when Gabby hits him with that line. Who even said it's yours?
I know.
The line Sun was going to hit him with like 3 episodes ago.
Yeah. Exactly.
She's taking your advice.
She should.
Yeah, well. Well, idiot Gabby then runs off to John's house, which why would you do that?
Well, to be fair, he's on house arrest.
Yeah, he wasn't supposed to leave.
Yeah, but she's riled him up.
So he's still on house arrest by the federal government.
And he's going to jail tomorrow. Why is he making it worse?
Literally.
Because now he wants 8 years for gay bashing.
Yeah.
Not again.
Yeah. So she runs to John's. John's not home.
But Justin is.
Who was at her house like 3 seconds ago.
Yeah. So she basically just got there after him.
But lucky he was just getting out of the shower because he's in a towel.
Yeah.
So she goes over to John's. I guess they talk and she says, I've left Carlos, blah, 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 blah. But then Gabby leaves. I assumed maybe, like, with her bag, she was going to go stay with John. But I guess not because she leaves with her bag.
But doesn't John live there?
Yeah. So I don't know where she's going. Maybe she's going to go stay with her friends or a hotel.
I think she would have just got a hotel. She probably just went to John because she's, like, you know, has to have a man all the time, basically.
Yeah. She's one of the Pretty Little Liars, of course.
She is, yeah.
And when she leaves, Carlos pulls up, like, immediately. Justin opens the door and he punches him square in the face.
Carlos turns up in a stolen car, by the way.
Yeah, he stole Edie's car to get there. And I like Edie's reaction to this because, okay, actually, first of all, this whole scene was amazing because Edie pulls up and she's like, hi. And Carlos does the most, like, I don't know, TV cartoon criminal thing ever. He like rubs his chin. He's like, ooh, a car with the keys in the ignition. And he goes up to it. And as he's driving away with her car, Edie's just like, felons, these felons.
We're getting back.
It was almost comical. But also Edie is me just driving up along the street she lives on doing things instead of like walking to them.
She's probably on her way home or something and stopped by.
I like to think she's like me and just drove from her house to three houses down because she didn't want to carry the sign. But yes, so Carlos beats up Justin and then we cut to the police being there and arresting him because they basically tracked his ankle bracelet. He broke house arrest. And Carlos says, don't worry about it. It's between me, him, and my wife. And when Justin is asked about this, he's like, are you sleeping with his wife? He says, no, I'm gay. And Carlos is like, you're gay? Oh, this is not happening again. And the cop's like, what do you mean again?
Yeah.
It's like, I'd like to get my lawyer.
And then they put it together with the story of the old cable guy because, as we said when that happened, the suspect drawing was exactly a picture of Carlos.
It was.
So obviously they put the two and two together and he's been arrested for both of those things now. And he's facing, was it another 8 years in jail? How long was he working?
Yeah, 8 years. Where he was going to go for 8 months, they're going to turn it into 8 years.
Yeah, and so Gabby comes to see him and he's like, okay, I want you to do something. I need you to tell them that you lied to me about not being the father. And she's like, oh, yes, a lie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get you out of trouble, okay?
Yeah, and the thing about this scene that also got me is when Carlos says that he beat up the cable guy for Gabby because he thought she was cheating with him. She was like, our gay cable guy. But she saw that picture on the TV and was like sus in the bathtub, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this shouldn't have been a shock to her.
Shouldn't have. But...
exactly.
But yeah, she's like, I'm not going to lie for you, Carlos. Like,
yeah,
I would never cheat.
Yeah, that's right. Because he said to her, go lie and tell them you're cheating on me.
She's like, yes, a lie.
Yes, a lie. I'm not going to lie for you, Carlos.
And then he's yelling after her, Gabby. And that's Gabby and Carlos. Who's next? Who's left? Snoozin', I suppose. Or should we finish on Snoozin' and do Mary Alice as well at the same time?
Yeah, we can do that. Can I take a little side note here? The Edie thing, when we were talking about how Edie was going to the house. I just thought it was interesting to note that the reason that that house was for sale is because the Mullins, who used to live there, they're moving out because they're the only ones who've not noticed the moral decay in this street.
I know. And
to be honest, they're the only observant ones because so much shit has gone down this past year in this street.
I know.
Their house prices must have crashed. Like, they probably sold it for $2.
I reckon. And you know what? I'd buy it for all the street drama just to witness it.
Yeah. And then I think this doesn't happen till like the end of the episode, but we see that some people have quietly moved in during the night as well.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting.
Which is honestly ideal because you don't want your neighbor snooping on you.
Exactly.
But also why you like sus moving in the middle of the night.
Maybe they just like got there late from their long drive. I don't know.
Who knows? I just wanted to mention that while we're still semi on the topic. So let's cover Bree next and then we can do Susan.
So Bree and Rex are, not Rex, sorry. Bree and the other Rex, George, are hanging out. They're playing mini golf.
Okay,
and
first of all, hanging out is generous. That's an actual freaking date.
It is correct, yes.
Oh my god, like, I don't understand how Bree doesn't think she's dating him.
Yeah, and it's not until she blows on Rex's ear and he gets an erection. Not Rex, George. I keep calling him Rex.
Who are you, me? Until,
I know, literally. It's not until she blows on George's ear and he gets an erection that she realizes that he has feelings for her.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, she's hot. If she blew on my ear, I'd get an erection too.
I was going to say, that's like the least, like, biggest clue that she could find on that. Like, you can't control, like, what happens to your body. If you get aroused, you get aroused, you know? Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bree has some confusions because that's not his feelings, Bree.
No, that's exactly, that's a very good way to phrase it. That's not his feelings. That's the straw that broke the camel's back for Bree, and she realized that he's in love with her. Not everything else that pointed to the fact that he was.
Not the fact that he's literally obsessed with her and they're currently on a date.
Yeah, exactly. And so Bree is walking away after she has, I guess, calmed George down. And she basically says, I can't believe this is such a betrayal of my trust. You're still in love with me, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, only thing I'm guilty of is silently loving you, Brie. And like, yes, that's exactly what she's saying. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And she basically says, I'm sorry, George, we can't be friends. And you've really hurt me by getting an erection because it's sad.
Yeah. And yeah, so she decides she's not going to hang out with him anymore. But she runs into him at her local supermarket, like, I guess the next day or something.
Before she does that, George is obsessed with her. So he stands outside her house waiting for her to leave.
Oh, yes.
And then he breaks into her house to go through her things. And he lines up like an underwear set on her bed. And he's just like looking at it and takes a photo. Yes. Doing general disgusting creepy shit.
Yeah, it is creepy.
I feel like he's going to use that later on, though.
And he swaps out the pills while he's there, right?
Yes, he does.
Because I'm guessing by now they have actually, I think they have switched chemists now, and he now has to break into their house to swap his pills.
You are correct. And while he's there, he goes through Brie and Rex's cupboard, and he finds the box of S&M items.
Yes, he does. Yeah, and then he runs into Brie at her local supermarket, and she says, oh, you know, what are you doing here? Because you live on the other side of town. And he's like, oh, yeah, I was just, like, grabbing some shit for my friend who's in the hospital, which still doesn't explain why didn't you grab it from the supermarket near your house.
Don't worry about
it. Maybe he was at the hospital and then they needed it.
Well, he does say that he was at the hospital visiting his friend.
Anyway, then, yeah, he says, like, oh, it's not really my place to say, but, like, you should tell Rex to be a bit more discreet about your sex life. And she's like, what the hell are you talking about? And he says that he was at the hospital and he overheard some of Rex's colleagues talking about how he likes hardcore sex.
Yeah.
And Brie, who's obviously she's very worried about what people think of her and stuff, she's absolutely mortified about this. And she doesn't trust that Rex isn't talking about their sex life.
Yep.
So the next scene is that she confronts Rex about it, right?
They're laying in bed and she confronts Rex about it.
Yeah.
He ends up getting a heart attack. Like, the meds are obviously not doing their job. The added stress to it just ends up giving him a little bit of a heart attack. And he's like to Brie, I'm having a heart attack. And she's not believing it.
You are not.
Yeah, not at first. But I feel like it's partly because, like, he's a doctor. He knows the signs. He's really calm about it.
Yeah.
And so at first she's like, no, you are not. Like, she just thinks he's trying to get out of the conversation. And then he's like, no, really, like, I'm having a heart attack.
Take me to the hospital.
Take me to the hospital. And she's like, oh, shit, okay. You go downstairs and wait and I'll be right there and I'll take you, is what she says. And, like, Rex is just at the bottom of the stairs dying.
I know.
She's there. She's making her bed.
I know. But, like, the thing is, Danielle went and found him.
Yeah.
And Danielle's like, Dad, what are you doing? And I was seriously curious about how he was going to answer. I was like, are you going to stress out your daughter or are you going to, like, tell a lie? Like, I don't know what you're going to do. And he's like, oh, I'm just having a heart attack.
Daddy's just having a heart attack.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for your mum.
I'm waiting for your mum. And she runs upstairs and she's like, Mum, what are you doing? And Brie's, like, fully dressed. Her hair is done. She's doing the bed. And she's like, you know, I never leave the house with an unmade bed.
I know. I think, to be fair, Brie is just very, like, stressed and she's kind of disassociating a bit.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this ain't normal.
Yeah, I don't think, like, she's like, oh, you told your friends about our sex life. Now I'm going to let you die downstairs.
Yeah.
I think she's just disassociated and she's, like, she's trying to deal with it.
Her organization and her cleanliness to sort of,
to, like, cope.
Which we learned she already does that, like, when they went through therapy and stuff the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
But now is not the time or place to do it. Get him to the hospital and then go clean something.
No.
Go clean the hospital.
Go clean the hospital, yeah.
But then she finishes making her bed and she says, there, now we can go. And she starts leaving the room. And that's the last we see, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all we see. And then we're up to Susan, I guess.
Snoozing.
Snoozing. So Susan and Mike are back on Hot and Heavy. And
wish they weren't.
But they are. So Edie doesn't know this and turns up at Mike's store with a box of donuts.
Delicious.
It is delicious.
Yeah, because she's still got her sights set on Mike.
On Mike.
So, yeah, she goes over and she's like, you know what? He's single. I got donuts. Like, this can only mean one thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So as soon as she gets to the door, Mike opens it and then Susan pops up. So obviously all her plans.
Susan pops up literally naked. She's wearing underwear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you don't know who that is at the door, mate. Put on some clothes.
I reckon she heard her voice and then, like, came with the robe open on purpose for that very reason.
Like, oh, my God. Like, Susan,
Get a grip.
It is right about you.
Like, we're back together. Can't you believe it? Blah, blah, blah. And she takes the donuts from Edie.
Mike takes them to the kitchen.
And then my favorite Edie line in this scene was when Susan's like, yeah, well, we're back together now, so you just wasted your donuts. And Edie's like, not if you choke on them.
Oh, my God, yes. But I will give props to Susan. The one good line she had in this scene is when she's like, I can't believe you're still going after him. And Edie's like, oh, I thought you were done with him because you thought he was a murderer. And she's like, and that's your sign to jump up for a man? Like,
yeah, yes,
she's literally. Like, oh, you think he's a murderer, so now you're going to sleep with him.
Edie's just lonely. Like, no one likes Edie. And the only reason she's going after Mike is because she's lonely. Like, Mrs. Hoover's gone now. The girls don't like her. Susan's a bitch.
Well, Mary Alice says she likes attention and she wants attention from Mike. And in the words of Edie a few episodes ago, some mountains are just meant to be climbed.
But also, I feel like she did give Susan a chance to be friends with her. And Susan she just did. Shat all over it.
Yeah, she did. 100%.
Why taking that date? Like, you just got off that thing with Mike.
Susan burnt down her house and Edie forgave her and was like, can I come to poker?
Yes, exactly.
And then Susan was like, nah, I'm going to shit on you again. Like, I'm going to burn exactly. down your house and steal your man. How about that?
Exactly.
And then Edie was like, please, Susan, I'm trying to like you.
I know. And then Susan has the audacity to be mad at her when she tries to go see Mike after it's been like months after they broke up or however long it's been.
Literally, I don't know how where anyone is supposed to be Team Susan in all of this.
They make Susan look like so innocent and quirky and like lovable. She's not. If Edie was to do half the stuff that Susan's done, no one would like Edie at all.
Well, that's exactly what it is. Edie is just a more competent Susan with blonde hair.
Exactly. Edie is a more honest Susan, I think, yes. is the best way to put it.
Yes, but also more competent because she's not always tripping over her own feet.
Yeah, exactly. When Edie leaves the house naked, it's on purpose.
Exactly.
But then Susan says, I'm going to run over to the house and get milk because I can't have donuts and juice. That's like not okay. Mike says to her, why don't you just move in so you don't have to go and get milk, basically.
Yeah it's easier.
And I'm like, you guys just got back together, you only dated like on and off for a few months at best.
Yeah,
like, why are you guys moving in? It was flaky the whole time.
And she's got a teenage daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Did you even ask Julie if she's comfortable with that in any way? No. And later on, when Julie addresses it, she says, why are you moving in with a man that you don't trust? But it's like, why are you moving a man into my house as well that I don't trust? Like, I'm your teenage daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you just made me read his detective profile. We know that he's killed a clock. Like,
she's a hot mess, man.
And before she even answers Mike, she says, be right back. And she goes, Edie, Edie. And it's like running after her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, Edie, I just want to say sorry for my behavior before. Like, it was really rude of me. And Edie thinks she's being a decent person. She's like, thanks, Susan. I appreciate that. And she's like, oh, and by the way, unrelated, me and Mike are moving in together. Bye.
I know. What a bitch.
But then Edie's like, I'm going to get my comeuppance with this chick. So she goes to her friends and says to them that, did you know Susan's going to move in with Mike? And then she sort of like adds fuel to the fire, I guess, and gets them worried for Susan until the point where they decide that they're going to have an intervention. And then Edie's like, oh, can I come?
Edie's like, normally I wouldn't want to get involved, but
yeah, I care about Susan.
Yeah.
And then they have literally the worst intervention of all time, as Edie points out. They call Susan over. She thinks she's going to be baking a cake or some shit.
Crepes.
She's the only one wearing an apron. And she's like, why am I the only one wearing an apron? Oh, it's an intervention. And so the whole point of this intervention was Susan is taking a chance on Mike, who she doesn't know very well. Yes. And this could be a dangerous situation.
Because you thought he was a murderer and bracelets and things.
And then basically she says to them, well, I need to take a chance on him because I'm tired of, not taking a chance on love. And then they were like, yeah, fair enough. Okay, we're so happy for you. Like,
and also,
are you all dumb?
Did you guys pick up on the Twilight scene in this?
No.
Nope.
So you know how one of our favorite lines in Twilight is, you've been lying to everyone, Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Susan is like, I've been hurt a lot of times in my life. Carl.
Yes. Oh my God, that's so true. I didn't make the connection, but yes.
Charlie. Carl.
Yes, so true.
So yeah, I've been hurt a lot of times in my life. I'm going to take a chance on love. I'm still going to move in with him. I don't care if I probably get murdered.
Yeah. Like, it is what it is. Okay. Me and Julie may get murdered. That's fine.
My daughter may die, but that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
And then, like, they're all, like, supporting her, and Edie's like, this is the worst freaking intervention ever.
And it's true.
Did she stutter? No.
But, yeah, and then the next day, Mike and Susan are moving in. Susan's like, I don't want guns in the house. And Mike's like, say less, no guns in the house, fine. They're like, oh, this living together thing's going to be so easy. He, 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 he. And we'll get into this in a little bit, but basically, Susan finds Martha Huber's diary in Mike's car when she's moving boxes, and she suddenly does not trust him all over again, and she thinks maybe it's not going to be super easy, hee hee hee.
And then what does she do? She goes to Mummy Julie.
Yeah, Mama Julie.
Mummy Julie, please help.
The guy that I've invited to live with us, I found a dead person's diary in his car. What do you think?
Exactly. Let's go on a stakeout, honey.
And then, yeah, she's trying to follow Mike's car, in quotation marks, staying like six cars behind him the whole time. And Julie, the voice of reason, is questioning her. Are you sure that you can see him because, like, we're so far away? And she's like, oh, no. How do you think I caught your dad with his secretary? I know what I'm doing. I'm Super Spy Susan.
Yeah.
And so they follow Mike and they follow him to the park. And, like, this is going to come up in the other storyline, but we're also expecting Mike to be at the park. So we're like, oh, she's caught him doing the thing that he's about to do. But she gets out of her car, she opens the front door and starts saying something in her typical Susan way. But it's just, like, a couple making out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, so sorry. And then she, like, leaves. And, yeah, so then she goes back to the car and has to admit that, no, that wasn't him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's all we see from that end, though. We don't see her telling him she's not going to move in or anything like that, do we?
Yeah, no, we don't.
Meanwhile, though, back at the ranch.
Yes.
So Felicia is just Felicia-ing.
Raising Zach now.
Yeah, raising Zach now. And she gives Zach a bunch of stuff that Paul left behind before he left. So as we remember from the last episode, she basically said to him, get the hell out of town. I'm going to raise your son. And if you don't, I'm going to tell the cops about you. So he takes off and he leaves a bunch of stuff for his son, including like a baseball mitt.
Yeah.
And a letter.
Yeah. No, the letter was inside the baseball mitt.
No, there was a letter that he read.
But there was a safe letter.
Okay, yeah, okay, yeah.
And he's like, put your mitt, whatever, play baseball. Yeah, and then yeah, inside the mitt was the second note. I didn't leave you.
No, I'm following now because I just ignored that because it wasn't drama.
It was drama because he doesn't even like baseball.
Yeah, that's what she was getting to.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. So Zach's like, my dad's a fucking moron. I don't even play baseball. I don't know why he gave me this. He slams the mitt down and runs away, basically. And then Felicia picks up the mitt and she notices that there's a little note stuck inside. And it says, you know, I didn't leave you. Meet me at the park on Thursday night.
Midnight on Thursday.
And Felicia's like, what a bitch, in her mind. I heard her.
Yeah,
say it.
I saw it in her eyes.
And then the next thing that happens is Mike comes over to visit Felicia. I forget the context.
He sees Paul Young dropping off a box at Felicia's house, which is the box that was the mitt and everything in. And he says to Felicia, like, hey, look, is Zach here? Like, I haven't seen him in a couple of days. I haven't seen Paul in a couple of days. Do you know where they are, basically?
Yeah. And then basically Felicia starts hinting at how she knows that Paul's a bad guy and he killed Martha. And, you know, they're on the same page about Paul being a bad guy. And yeah. Mike's like, oh, so do you know where he is now? And she's like, no, but I know where he'll be on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, the whole thing was pretty cryptic, but we're led to believe that Felicia just asked Mike to go kill Paul in the middle of
the night. Literally.
No, I didn't take it as kill. I thought he was going there to question him about the toy box because his name was on the toy box list.
But then they were talking about, like, do you believe in the death penalty? That's why I haven't gone to the police. But also he's where he's going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess.
But is that all we see?
Yeah, so he gets to the park on Thursday night at midnight where, you know, Susan quote-unquote follows him too.
Yeah.
And Paul turns around because he thinks he hears Zach and gets punched in the face.
Son, you've grown up so much.
I know.
Are you a plumber?
I know. But yeah, I think that's it now.
Yeah, I think that's it now too. Really good episode. And the next episode is the season finale.
Does anyone have a worst sister story?
I do.
Oh, yes, you do.
Are you talking about my visit?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, guys, so this week, look, I had a rough week, so did my dog. Basically,
I feel like your dog had a rougher week than you.
My dog had a rougher week. Basically, he wasn't eating, he wasn't drinking, he was having a really hard time, and, like, it's hot right now. It's tick season. We've been hanging out in grassy areas, so it got in my mind that he's got ticks. So I'm freaking out. I went out and got, like, a lice comb, and I washed him and everything, washed him real good. Then I ran the lice comb through him and I couldn't find anything. I guess he doesn't have ticks. But then I brought him inside and he started licking himself. And I looked where he was licking and I noticed these black spots. And I was like, oh shit, he does have ticks. I'm going to check it out. So I'm looking at the ticks and I'm like, called my husband over and I'm like, hey, are these ticks to you? And he's like, yeah, they're definitely ticks. And I was like, oh shit, I don't know what to do right now. And I called the vet, but they weren't answering. My vet is literally 5 minutes up the road. So I was like, F this. I'm just going to drive to the vet. I'm just going to make them look at this dog because, like, he's not drinking or anything.
And thank God you did. It could have been so much worse.
Yeah, it gets worse. So I grab my dog. I go to the vet and I'm like, I know I don't have an appointment, but please someone look at him because I think he's got ticks. And so they've taken me in and they're, like, getting me to explain where's the ticks, etc. So I told them. They took him out the back and I'm, like, waiting while they're looking at him. I'm, like, getting worried. And then she brings him out and she's like, okay, so good news. He doesn't have ticks. Those are his nipples. Mate, when I say I was so embarrassed. I went back there the next day with a dozen donuts for the team because I was like, this is embarrassing. I'm so sorry about Nipplegate.
Nipplegate.
But yeah, anyway, it turns out he just had a sore throat and now he's fine.
Maybe him.
So yeah.
So thanks guys for listening in on this week's episode of Whisperia Lane. Join us next week for another episode of Shadeswoods. And if you have any thoughts or comments on what we've been doing so far, what we've covered so far, please let us know. If you have any thoughts or ideas on what we should cover next, also let us know. You can get us on our socials, which is at Worst Sister Shire on Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, and TikTok. Or you can get us on Twitter/X on at Sister Worst. All right, I'll count us out. A 5, 6, 7, 8. Had a bomb.
I guess.